The following message comes from Panera Bread. Looking for something fresh and filling? Panera's new warm grain bowls are full of flavorful ingredients like hearty quinoa, spicy salsa verde, and creamy avocado. Full of good, so you'll be full of good too. Try a new Baja or Mediterranean warm grain bowl, now available for delivery. Panera, food as it should be.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Interest rates are coming down, so why aren't credit card rates coming down also? We'll check in with a Wall Street Journal reporter in a moment to find out. First, some money and market news you should know. Do you have $2,467 in a rainy day fund for a medical emergency or job loss? It sounds like a very specific random number, but recent research shows that that magic number could significantly reduce the chances of experiencing hardship in the next 6 months. By crunching data collected from the 2009 to 2011 census, researchers found that $2,500 represented about a month's salary for the 70,000 low-income households in their sample. But that group only had a median household savings of about $70, and a quarter of them had no savings at all. The new research suggests that instead of the old rule of thumb to have 3 to 6 months of expenses and savings, many low-income families getting at least one paycheck stored away might make a big difference. More women are getting behind the wheel of big rigs. Female truckers still only account for about 6% of the trucking workforce, but the American Trucking Association's trade group says their numbers have jumped by more than two-thirds in the past 8 years to over 234,000. One big reason? Equal pay. The trade group says that drivers are paid hourly, by the mile, or per load, but there's no distinction between genders. Drivers are paid based on experience level and routes taken. Having a gap in your resume from a career break used to be a hurdle when applicants try to get back into the workforce, but employers are now rushing to interview applicants who took breaks, even for as long as 2 years. A study by ResumeGo says that 10% of people with two gaps in their resumes were contacted by employers for follow-up interviews, only slightly lower than their competitors with no career gaps. The tight labor market is one factor changing the rules, but another is a cultural shift. Manpower Group says that three-quarters of U.S. workers ages 24 to 38 expect to take career breaks for passion projects, travel, or family leave. One reason may be that nearly 1 in 3 millennials plans to work beyond age 70, and nearly 1 in 8 expects never to retire. See a list of helpful tips for returning to work after a career break at WSJ.com and the WSJ app.
Have you ever wondered what the gun industry has to say for itself? Here's your chance. Listen to the new podcast series, The Gun Industry Speaks, where the National Shooting Sports Foundation, the trade association for the firearms industry, weighs in on the debate, unfiltered and in their own words. We'll go deep into the issues all Americans care about, such as background checks, stopping criminals, and what the industry is doing to keep firearms out of the wrong hands.
Last year, as the Federal Reserve increased interest rates, your credit card rate went up as well. Now the Fed is lowering interest rates and your credit card rate is still going up? It seems counterintuitive, but it's happening. But we've got Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis here to explain it for us. So Anna Maria, the rates that lenders charge is closely tied to broader interest rates. That's not new. So why would credit card rates still be high?
Because credit card lenders are looking to make a profit and looking to make more of a profit than they were in previous years. So the one obvious way of how to do that is to increase the interest rates that cardholders are paying on their balances.
Now, you mentioned margins in your story. Can you explain what margins are and how they're pushing credit card interest rates up?
Sure. So the credit card APR, or the annual percentage rate that people pay, it is based on the prime rate, which tends to move in tandem with the Fed's rate increases and rate cuts, plus the margin that lenders set. So it's prime rate plus margin equals APR. So what's been happening to the margin is that it's been growing in recent years. And actually, as of August, that margin was at a record high. In August, the average margin that lenders tacked on to the interest rates was 11.72 percentage points. So essentially, what this rising margin is doing is that even as the Fed cuts its rates, right, so that first part of that equation, the prime rate, would be going down, because the lenders are increasing the other part of that equation and raising it, right, it's offsetting much and sometimes any of the rate cuts that the Fed is making.
So it's added on to the prime rate?
No. So what happens is that the margin gets added to the prime rate. But for consumers, what this means is that even though the Fed is lowering rates, as one portion of the equation that determines your APR is declining, the other one set by lenders is rising. So the end result, that APR that consumers are paying, could end up being higher than what it actually should be if it was just moving in line with market rates.
All right, so the banks have the consumers by the neck is what this comes down to.
That's a good point that you make. I mean, there's a couple of reasons why the banks are doing this. So the last 4 or so years, the credit card industry, it's been all about rewards, right? These rewards credit cards, whether it's cash back or points.
And they were banking, no pun intended, but they were banking on those programs actually generating revenue for
them. Right. And so these rewards programs have not been as lucrative as the banks would have liked them to be. And in fact, they've actually been pushing down on credit card division's profits. So as lenders are looking to improve profits, they've turned to interest rates. They've turned to one of the more obvious places where they could improve their returns.
Now, what about people who don't pay their credit card in full each month? Haven't the fees and interest they pay offset the hit that lenders are taking from all the perks they've been giving out?
No, not entirely. I mean, really, since the last year that lenders saw an increase in their credit card profits was in 2013. Every year after that, that number, the return on assets that big banks with big credit card divisions were getting, was declining. The only time since then that we saw a turnaround actually was last year. Last year is when we started to see the real increase in margins that lenders are tacking on to these interest rates. So one would think that at a time when in total, U.S. credit card debt at this point is over $1 trillion and has mostly been rising. One would think, well, so many people are carrying balances. People who carry balances should be enough to just deliver the returns mm-hmm. that the banks want. Well, it turns out that's not the case, because these rewards programs that banks have been rolling out and touting to consumers for many years are eating into a lot of what would otherwise just been their profits. And a big reason for that is there's a lot of savvy consumers out there, right? People who are able to pay their bills in full every month and who maximize these cards, meaning that they will spend as much as they need to in the first 3 months to get those sign-up bonuses that then help them get that free airfare. And then guess what? After doing that, they move on to the next card where they can do the same thing. So there's been this trend for several years now of gamers that have really eaten into the bank's profits. And it's been a difficult calculation for the banks because these so-called gamers are also, they often have the profiles of consumers that the banks want. They're affluent, they pay their bills on time, they have high credit scores, and they're looked at as consumers who they can then sell other products too, right? So the banks still want to hold on to them. Well, what does that mean? Essentially, in some ways, to subsidize having those cardholders, they need to make up for that on the side of the with the cardholders who carry balances.
You mentioned credit card holders who pay their bills off on time. Normally, you'd think that why would a bank go after them, but it's so that they can sell them other products since they're not paying interest and late fees and
well,
such?
Well, it's banks mainly go after these types of consumers, one, because they're very likely to pay their bills, and that means that the banks won't have to worry about delinquencies because they could sell them other products ranging from mortgages to wealth management. And we see that, right? It's very common to see banks selling cardholders other products or maybe offering incentives like, if you sign up for this card, and you're looking for a mortgage, we'll give you the mortgage with an interest rate discount. There are all these different combos that banks use that involve cards as a perk. So the main reason they want them is because they're good credit risks and because they could sell them other products. But that's not enough. In order for credit card divisions to remain as profitable as they once were, it's really a matter of the interest rate game. Mm-hmm. It's also worth pointing out that the banks are also dealing with one more challenge in the credit card division that's impacting their profits. So in 2016 and 2017, more cardholders were not paying their credit card bills. And so as loan losses increase, that eats into profits for banks, right? So now, over the last year or so, they've gotten those loan losses under control because they've tightened underwriting standards. But they're sort of sitting back and taking a look at the broader economy and saying, well, if there is going to be a recession or an economic downturn of sorts at some point in the coming years, that would increase the chances of us dealing with higher loan losses, which would therefore eat into our profits.
Oh, it's like a cushion in their
pocket.
It's
a cushion. So essentially, this isn't just a way to make the rewards game play out well financially for the banks, but it's also a cushion against the possibility of rising loan losses in the future.
Now, regarding the interest rates that are high, is there enough range here where people can shop around? And does it make sense to do that? And can you call up a bank and negotiate a decent rate?
So there's definitely enough of a range where it's worthwhile shopping around, especially if you are a consumer with a high credit score, figure 720 or above on a scale that tops out at 850. So a couple ways to do this would be the credit card offers that come in the mail, the solicitations. Oftentimes there's this page which is, it just sort of lays out the terms. It's a pretty boring looking black and white page. It lays out the terms, including the APR. And these sheets look very different from one lender to another. And oftentimes what it'll show you is that your rate, it'll show you your rate will either be X, Y, or Z, depending on your credit. Sometimes it'll show a specific rate because maybe they've already determined what your rate will be when they were looking at your credit report before they sent you the solicitation. Mm-hmm. So a good starting point is just take out the solicitations that have come in your mailbox and put them all sort of side by side and look at that term sheet and what they're offering.
Read the fine print, essentially.
Essentially, yes.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis here in our studio. Anna Maria, thanks for clearing this up.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.